Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Double Dose by Gretchen Archer, narrated by Amber Benson.
Don't go next door. Go to blank, 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 blank.
Friday, 8:59 a.m. I was called to the principal's office at Willow Academy for Exceptional Children at 9 o'clock in the morning on a breezy Friday in June. I'd just left Willow. I'd walked my daughters to the front door and signed them in at 8:15 and had been at my desk for no more than 10 minutes when the school called. Are the girls okay?
They're fine, Davis.
First name basis. That's how often I spoke to Cricket Robinson, gatekeeper and head Band-Aid dispenser at Willow, where my twin daughters, Bexley and Quinn, attended preschool. They've barely been there long enough to put their backpacks in their cubbies, I said. What could have happened already?
I'd rather not say over the phone.
Cricket, are the girls okay?
They're fine, but Mrs. Wellesley needs to speak to you. Could Mr. Cole come too?
I doubt it. My husband, Bex and Quinn's father, Bradley, was almost 200 miles away in Jackson, Mississippi, attending a meeting with the Mississippi Gaming Commission. He's out of the office and won't be back until much later today.
Could you come now?
Not unless it's an emergency. I had a convention I'd just learned about the day before, checking into the Bellissimo Resort and Casino in Biloxi, Mississippi, where we lived and worked. If the girls are okay, why can't it wait until Monday?
Davis,
she lowered her voice to a whisper.
You might need your birth control pills before Monday.
Friday, show and tell. Surely they hadn't. My name is Davis Wade Cole. I'm 30-something, pushing 40-something, and on the short side at just over 5'2". My hair is almost red, think cinnamon. My eyes, even though I checked the hazel box when I'd recently renewed my driver's license, are cinnamon too. I'm an undercover casino operative at the Bellissimo to my husband's president and chief executive officer, which was why we lived there too, in the president's residence, on the 29th floor of the hotel. I went back to work full-time when Bex and Quinn started pre-K at Willow, the most prestigious, ludicrously expensive, and inconveniently located preschool in Harrison County, but only after climbing the waiting list we'd been on since before the girls were born. They attended preschool with the son of a United States congressman, with other local casino executives' children, with the daughter of a famous romance author, and with two of country music legend Trace Atkins's grandchildren, who they recently brought for show and tell. He sang Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star to Bex and Quinn's class. And my daughters took my birth control pills for show and tell. How did they get to the top shelf of my vanity, a shelf I could barely reach without a stepladder, to find my birth control pills? How did birth control pills even rate as show-and-tell material with Bex and Quinn? To my knowledge, the girls had no idea what birth control pills were, and also to my knowledge, they'd each taken a book for show-and-tell. Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus and The Red Lemon. 2 weeks into their preschool careers, our daughters were suspended for a week after convincing their classmates that superpowers were transferred through bites. Everyone in their class went home with bite marks after Bex and Quinn told them if they ever wanted to fly or be invisible or turn broccoli into cupcakes, they had to bite each other, which they did. They bit the stew out of each other. In the end, it cost us a generous donation to the school library. 4 weeks later, Bex and Quinn were asked to leave Willow and never come back after tiptoeing past their teacher, the teacher's assistant, and the teacher's assistant's assistant, carrying their new shoes, shoes a classmate had told them were ugly. They hid the shoes inside a toaster oven in the teacher's lounge. An unsuspecting, terrific twos teacher, preheating the oven for her lean cuisine cauliflower crust three-cheese pizza, set the shoes and the teacher's lounge on fire. It cost us a soccer field refurbish.
That night, Bradley and I sat the girls down and didn't tell them they were on their last willow leg and that they'd better keep little lids on it. Instead, we followed the school's sage advice and initiated a reward program. Rather than discipline them for what they did, we rewarded them for what they didn't do, which made no sense to us. For one, neither of us were raised that way, and for another, we knew our daughters. It wouldn't work, but we loved our girls, we wanted to be good parents, and we only went along because of the school's sly habit of reminding us at every turn that they'd forgotten more about early childhood development than we would ever know. For every day, Bex and Quinn didn't come home from school with frowny face stickers plastered all over their willow jumpers. They earned a scoop of ice cream to be rewarded on Saturday mornings. Ice cream breakfast with Mom and Dad, up to 5 scoops for keeping their little selves in check for 7 little hours Monday through Friday, one of which they slept through. They supposedly slept through. Shoegate happened during nap time with 3 adults in the classroom who thought the girls were asleep. When the ice cream didn't work, the school advised us to up the ante, suggesting the girls were too cooped up as a result of living in a hotel, then went on to tell us one of Bex and Quinn's classmates, the daughter of the romance author, had a barn, 3 ponies, and a riding arena in her backyard. As a result of all the fresh air and exercise, the child was a model student who never caused a moment's trouble. So we spent an absolute fortune turning 2,000 square feet of space we weren't really using into an enclosed glass patio, complete with grass and extensive landscaping, all the way to many palm trees. We added a bike trail throughout. One corner held a multi-level princess castle and another a pretend beach with an elaborate sprinkler system that mimicked little waves. Our dogs loved it. Our daughters couldn't care less except for the indoor-outdoor rooms' hide-and-seek properties. And 2 weeks after we unveiled their new at-home playground, Willow's School for Exceptional Children unveiled their own new playground we'd been forced to purchase for the school after Bex and Quinn, claiming a little birdie told them to, freed all the residents of the Spread My Little Wings display in the Critter classroom. A thrilling threes teacher lost 2 square inches of her hair when she had to have 6 stitches after a woodpecker attack. Since the library donation, refurbished soccer field, and new playground equipment, and in addition to Willow's Ivy League-worthy tuition of $22,000 per child per semester, we'd purchased miles of new red velvet drapes for the school's massive theater stage, and I'd been coerced into chairing the fall festival fundraiser. Bex and Quinn were only 6 months into their pre-K careers, and we were going broke. And for their latest trick, they took my birth control pills for show and tell. I wondered what else the school could get out of us.
Whatever they want, don't pay it. It's extortion. You could hire a neurosurgeon and a microphysicist to homeschool the girls for what Willow is costing you.
My best friend and partner, Fantasy Herb, 6 feet tall, casually elegant, she looked like a live version of a chocolate-skinned Barbie, a woman who took no prisoners, and that could be because she was a former prison guard, arrived midway through my phone call. She gathered right away it was Willow on the other end of the line. She sat down at her desk to the right of mine, then pushed a hot cup of coffee and the note under my nose. I was on hold while Cricket discussed my case with Willow's headmaster, Barbara Wellesley, so I gratefully accepted the coffee, but didn't write Fantasy back. Instead, I said aloud, "The girls took my birth control pills to school for show and tell." Fantasy nodded slowly and thoughtfully.
"New chef?"
"What?"
"The mommy and me tea last week," she said. "You said the cookies tasted like sidewalk."
"Because 4-year-old children bake them."
"Donate a new chef to the school's cafeteria anyway," she said. "It'll get you off the birth control hook."
"Where am I supposed to find a new chef?"
"In one of our 12 restaurants?"
She pointed above our sub-basement offices to the Bellissimo in general.
"Or do what I've told you to do every day since the girls started at Willow. Tell the headmaster that kids will be kids, and if she doesn't want your money for teaching your kids, You'll find a preschool that does.
And then what? Fantasy said.
Find a preschool that does, just as Cricket said. Excuse me, Davis?
How long had Cricket been back on the line? Had she heard us? Hold on, Cricket. Let me turn down the television. I smacked Fantasy's arm. Okay, shoot. Before she could shoot, security alerts flashed across Fantasy's and my phones, and security emails dinged into our inboxes. Fantasy read the subject line.
Hiccups?
Cricket said.
Mrs. Wellesley has agreed to let Bexley and Quinn stay for the rest of the day, but only if you and Mr. Cole meet with her when school is out at 3 this afternoon.
We'll do our best. More security alerts dinged in. More hiccups. Since when were hiccups a security matter? Fantasy queued live casino video feed for the section reporting hiccups and sent it to the big screen on the wall directly in front of us. We watched, first with amusement, then with curiosity, then with increasing concern as an entire bank of video poker machines idled by while their players hiccuped. Many were hand to chest as if to hold the hiccups in. Two women at side-by-side video poker machines were not only hiccuping, but laughing uncontrollably at each other between hiccups. The other hiccuping players looked at each other accusatorially as if the person next to them had started the hiccup war. Fantasy and I continued to watch, wordlessly, as a slot attendant approached the hiccupers, then, like us, tried to make sense of 20 people in one place all with the hiccups at the exact same time, until she popped a hand over her mouth. Her eyes grew wide, her head bobbed. 10 seconds later, it bobbed again. The slot attendant had the hiccups. Fantasy. My eyes were glued to the screen. Are hiccups like yawns? Can you catch them?
No.
I held my breath anyway, waiting to hiccup vicariously, when another security alert hit our inboxes. Blackjack 2, miles from the video poker machines, was reporting hiccups. 16 players, 1 pit boss, 4 dealers, and 2 cocktail servers had uncontrollable hiccups. Within 10 minutes, everyone in the casino had hiccups. Friday, 9:15 a.m. We froze the casino until we could figure out what was going on. No one in or out. To make it more palatable for our guests who didn't like the idea of being held hostage by slot machines, most seemed to like it a lot, we loaded the slot machines with $200 of free play each and gave the table players the equivalent in table credit. That'd keep them busy for a while. The casino wasn't exactly packed, somewhere close to 300 guests and 37 employees by our count, and that was more about the 250 pharmacists, pharmaceutical sales reps, medicinal chemists, and doctors with Good Pills Biopharmaceuticals, Inc. pouring in for their convention than anything else. But it wasn't 5 minutes later that Plethora, our five-star buffet, adjacent to and overlooking the casino, called security to report an additional 200 guests with hiccups.
Why are there 200 people having breakfast at the buffet at the same time?
Fantasy asked. Is it senior discount day? No, I said. They're here with the Biloxi Casino Exchange.
Are you playing with me? She asked.
I wish. The Biloxi Casino Exchange, a new and ill-advised community outreach program to promote goodwill between the city's competing casinos, facilitated sending patrons from one casino to another's spa, or supplying them with box seat tickets to another casino's headliner act. And since we'd voted against the program for numerous reasons, mostly because we were on great terms with 11 of our neighboring casinos and regularly traded amenities, and we felt sure the one casino we weren't on good terms with only wanted to use the program to spy on everyone else, starting with us, we only offered free breakfast buffets because nothing happened during breakfast. Except for that day.
It would seem we were serving Belgium waffles with a side of hiccups.
Now what do we do?
Fantasy asked. We heard the plethora of people into the casino.
They're high rollers, Davis. $200 on a slot machine won't impress them.
I rolled my eyes, loaded all the slot machines and tables with an additional $2,000 per person in free casino play, then sent instructions to the plethora manager to shuffle all the exchange guests to the casino. There, I said. $1 million problem solved.
Not the hiccup problem.
We watched the wall-to-wall monitors featuring wall-to-wall hiccupers.
What are we going to do, Davis?
For one, we forget about the exchange guests. As soon as the hiccups stop, we'll send them back where they belong. And in the meantime, I guess we watch and wait.
How long do hiccups last?
5 minutes, I guessed. 10? She checked the time.
We're going on 15.
I consulted Dr. Google on my phone. Hiccups generally last between 1 and 2 hours.
Are we going to sit here and watch 500 people hiccup for between 1 and 2 hours?
I hope not. But we did, silently, for at least 5 more minutes, until I realized my head was bobbing in time with the hiccupers on my computer screen. I turned to Fantasy, who was blinking in time with the hiccupers on her screen. Stop watching.
I can't.
Let's do something else.
Like what?
She blinked away. Like figure out how everyone in the casino got the hiccups instead of waiting for their hiccups to go away. She stayed, riveted to the hiccup show. I waved a hand between her face and the screen. See if you can find out why the conference people are in the casino so early.
What will you do?
I'll see if we missed anything on their background checks. Which was somewhat of a way to kill time while we waited on the hiccups to go away, but wasted no time at all because the 2-week-old security folder I found on Good Pills Biopharmaceuticals was empty. Apparently, we had a conference in-house full of fine upstanding citizens, none of whom were wanted in multiple jurisdictions for multiple crimes. There were no records of prior misdemeanors, much less felonies, not a restraining order in sight, or even a lone unpaid parking ticket. Unusual. 250 model humans. Fantasy pulled up the Bellissimo daily briefing and clicked the drug itinerary.
All the Good Pills people are in the casino because they're scheduled for a welcome breakfast at 9 at the Plethora Buffet.
Busy morning for Plethora, which had ceased operations because every cook, server, busser, and dishwasher had the hiccups. Fantasy nosed around a little more.
Listen to this, Davis. The Good Pills file is 2 weeks old.
The little red flag that lived in my brain stirred. That's how old their security folder is, I said. 2 weeks.
What does that mean?
The convention was news to me. I'd only heard about it the day before, for which there could be multiple reasons. How could it be news to the Bellissimo at large, too? I couldn't come up with a single good reason. It's probably a typo, I said. I bet it's a glitch and the date should be 1 year and 2 weeks ago.
No?
She tilted her computer screen. Every entry had the same 2 weeks ago date.
The drug people booked this conference 2 weeks ago.
The little red flag in my brain waved at me. How does a company pull together a 250-person conference in 2 weeks?
They don't.
She clicked away, her eyes racing around the Good Pills itinerary page.
It says in the notes that Good Pills was booked at another Biloxi casino, but it fell through.
On which end? I minimized the blank security page on my computer screen and maximized the one for special events. I logged in. Did the casino where they were originally booked cancel on them, or did they cancel on the casino?
It doesn't say.
Which other Biloxi casino?
It doesn't say that either,
she said. I could only see their booking date in their schedule. I found their conference folder in special events. Good Pills Biopharmaceuticals, headquartered in Elmhurst, Illinois, was primarily in the headache therapeutics business and had a market value of $7 billion. What I didn't find was how or why their original Biloxi conference plans had fallen through. Had another hotel accidentally double-booked conferences on top of each other? Did the deposit check Good Pills wrote another Biloxi resort bounce? Did one of our neighbor casinos know something about Good Pills we didn't? What else is on their itinerary, Fantasy?
After the welcome breakfast, they have a presentation called There's No Such Thing as a Sinus Headache.
I beg to differ.
After that, she read on, workshops and breakout sessions. There's the truth about ice cream and brain freeze. Husbands get headaches too, and an in-depth analysis of 150 different kinds of headaches.
She turned to look at me.
How do you do an in-depth analysis of 150 headaches in 50 minutes?
I shrugged.
You can't analyze 150 anythings in 50 minutes.
No argument from me.
Much less headaches, she said.
I nodded in agreement.
Tomorrow looks just like today.
She went back to the Good Pills conference agenda.
The breakout sessions include Botox, It's Not Just for Crow's Feet, The Relationship Between Bubblegum and Headaches, and Is There a Link Between Scented Soap and Migraines?
I sat back in my chair. Let's say it cost Good Pills $50,000 in transportation for 250 people round trip from Illinois to Mississippi.
Okay.
Fantasy sat back. And they're paying us $100,000 for their rooms for 2 nights. She nodded. Another $50,000 for our conference facilities and another $50,000 at least in food and bar.
Your point?
Good Pills is spending $250,000 to talk about bubblegum? Those are the fakest workshops of all fake workshops ever. Back at my computer, I nosed behind the conference tab in the special events folder. Whatever they're here to do, it has nothing to do with scented soap. And why is this the first we've heard of them? Who signed off on this? Before I could begin to look for the person or persons responsible for letting Good Pills sneak in our back door at the 11th hour, the words, incoming video call, flashed across the big screen in front of us. It was our boss, Jeremy Covey. Instead of hello or good morning, he said,
What are you two doing sitting at your desks while the whole casino has the hiccups?
What should we be doing? I asked. Running through the casino yelling boo at everyone to scare the hiccups out of them? This is a little unprecedented. It's not like we have a page in our operating manual to tell us what procedures to follow when the whole casino has the hiccups. He blew out a breath of frustration.
Where are you?
Fantasy asked.
I'm in the cage, he answered.
The cage was casino accounting. Casino accounting was where all casino banking transpired, but it wasn't slam bang in the casino. It was casino adjacent. The cage doesn't have hiccups? I asked the 55-inch image of the Bellissimo's vice president of security on the wall monitor in front of me, and it was 54 inches too much. Or maybe it was just bad lighting. The camera angle was that of him looking into a shiny Christmas tree ornament. All nose. In real life, his nose fit well on his extra-large head, think beach ball, above a frame large enough to hold a head that big. And he had about as much hair on his head as a beach ball, too, which was to say, none. And that was why we called him No Hair. If we kept it up with the video conference much longer, we'd have to change it to Big Nose.
No one in the cage has the hiccups,
No Hair's huge nose said. We're scanning the casino and can't find anyone who doesn't have them, I said, which means there's a possibility that whatever's causing the hiccups could be coming through the air vents. How is the cage spared? Isn't it on the same system?
The cage is sealed, Davis, on its own heat and air.
Right.
so a small thief couldn't crawl through the ductwork and nab a large amount of money.
Did you know about the Good Pills Conference, No Hair? I asked.
I saw it on the schedule a few weeks ago,
he answered. So you signed off on it?
No,
he said.
I thought you did.
I did not.
Then who did?
We both scratched our heads. Did you know this conference was booked at another Biloxi casino until 2 weeks ago? I asked.
Which one?
That I don't know. We scratched our heads again. Do we think there's a direct connection between the pharmacists and the hiccups? I asked.
I have no idea what to think other than the obvious,
No Hair said.
Someone wants us looking at hiccups and nowhere else.
What do you mean? Fantasy asked.
How many surveillance screens do you have dedicated to hiccups?
Fantasy and I glanced at the dozen big screens that lined our office walls on both sides of the huge screen in the middle that was full of his nose, all featuring hiccuping casino guests.
Where aren't we looking?
He asked, knowing where we weren't looking, but posing the question so we'd ask ourselves. The Bellissimo covered 3.2 million square feet. The casino was only 45,000 square feet of it. We weren't looking at the front desk, the hotel lobby, the shops on the mezzanine, the restaurants, the spa, the salon, the grounds, valet, the entrances, the exits, the receiving docks. At 9 o'clock on Friday mornings, cash arrived by armed courier to be transported to our vault so we'd have enough on hand for the weekend. Depending on how busy we were or weren't, if it was pouring rain out on a weekend, we had a golf tournament scheduled and half our guests canceled, or if the Red Hot Chili Peppers were in the house and their fans were pouring in, the amount of additional cash we received on Fridays could be anywhere from $500,000 to $5 million. On Monday mornings at 9 on the dot, the extra cash went back to the bank to wait for the next Friday. I glanced at the time. It was 9:20. My fingers flew across one of the keyboards in front of me while the little red flag in my brain danced a jig.
Are you pulling up the receiving dock, Davis?
No Hair asked.
Are you contacting casino surveillance to see if they might be keeping an eye on anything other than Hiccuper's fantasy?
It was with enormous relief that I watched warp speed video of the courier truck delivering the weekend cash, then walking it straight through the casino, past the cage, and into our vault. The only hiccup was, well, hiccups. Four armed couriers arrived without them and left with them. Fantasy found a little more. The five casino surveillance operators in their offices a floor above the casino were supposed to be watching every bank of slot machines, every craps table, and every transaction at the casino cage, weren't. They were slumped over their desks, either fast asleep or otherwise. It was impossible to tell from our vantage point, circled by 50 destroyed surveillance screens. No Hair, I broke the bad news. Surveillance is down.
What's that supposed to mean?
Before I could answer, my phone buzzed with an incoming text message from Ms. Kelsey, one of Bex and Quinn's teachers at Willow School for Exceptional Children. It would seem my exceptional daughters, in addition to taking my birth control pills for show and tell, had also smuggled a rabbit to school. Davis, please have someone pick up your rabbit. I didn't have a rabbit. Friday, 9:30 a.m. Any doubt I had that the Bellissimo was in the process of being compromised flew out the window. The little red flag in my brain jumped out after it, her work done. 500 people with the hiccups was a curiosity for sure and cause for concern. But our surveillance department incapacitated was confirmation. I put in an alert requesting all available security to get to surveillance as quickly as possible. But don't go through the casino to get there. Then access the cloud speaker in their cramped office. Hey, surveillance! One groggy head lifted an inch. Wake up! Another disoriented tech stirred. Fantasy leaned over my shoulder and into the tiny microphone dot at the top of my computer screen, and in a very practiced way threatened them with bodily harm if they didn't get up and moving that very instant. She didn't use her inside voice. Four men bolted upright in their chairs, and the fifth yelling, "Mom! Mom!"
Sample complete. Ready to continue?